Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. So nice to have you here with us this evening. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. Believe it or not, we're going to improvise a bit, but we have a central topic that we're going to focus on. It's going to take us into quite a few areas which pertain to things that are going on currently in our environment, in our three-dimensional world, in this matrix, as we call it sometimes, and as well as things that are going on in other parts of the universe. Our weekly guest will join us shortly. I want to preface my comments by pointing out that on the East Coast, it is April the 19th. On the West Coast, April 18th. Now, this is a significant day in my life because it's the one-year anniversary of my article in the Idaho Observer, a three-parter that ran in 2007, April, May, and June, exposing the true identities of the Bushwalker Clan. And when you take that information into the context of what's going on in the world today, it rings very true. In fact, this information has been confirmed, as will much new information coming out in the next three editions of the Idaho Observer, starting in May, continuing through June and July of 2008. A piece I'm writing called The Three Stooges Go to Washington is going to expose similar genealogical fudging by politicians and even some world figures. Very, very interesting information coming out. So if you don't subscribe to the Idaho Observer, I urge you to do so. You can do so by calling 1-800-208. Let's start over again. No, let's forget the 800 number. I'm thinking of three things at the same time. Start over. Area code 208-255-2307. Again, that number is area code 208-255-2307. The Observer is a truth-oriented newspaper. You will not find anything in there that is in the mainstream media, and for that matter alone, it's worth having. Many, many truths are revealed in that newspaper. It is a monthly paper. It usually comes out toward the middle of the month, just before the third week begins each month, and it's a fantastic paper. The publishers, editors, Ingrid Castle and Don Harkins have been running the Idaho Observer for over 11 years now, and they feature many, many famous researchers, many famous journalists and authors write pieces for the paper. Many great researchers, such as Webster Tarpley, Dr. Henry Macau, and and yours truly, Don Nikoloff. The list is endless, really. There are many, many fine people that contribute to the paper. They made Evident Footprints a possibility when I started this radio show last June, and they have been staunch supporters of many, many other networks and many causes around the country, vaccination, liberation. They are soon going to get involved, if I have anything to do with it, with the Ron Paul Flags, who is also a new sponsor, and in fact, I'm hoping to have Chris Johnson on the show. He's the founder of Ron Paul Flags and Eagle Marketing Group, and he got the idea for the flags in a vision that he had. Chris is also a minister, and he realizes that we have to make a personal statement here in this election season. Now, we may not be able to affect the election in terms of the corrupt rigged voting machines, but we certainly can do something by taking personal responsibility and at least showing others where we stand. We're not going to hear about the campaign of Ron Paul through the media. They have done everything they can to destroy his candidacy, and what they're not telling you is that He has not withdrawn from the election, nor is he not getting support of delegates. Quite to the contrary, many of the state delegates in the caucuses and straw polls that were carried on earlier this year have indicated that they are going to throw their support to his campaign. So despite what you hear in the media and about Britney Spears and now this travesty taking place in Texas with 416 children having been taken from an inbred home of Lord knows, there might be 40 families living in one house. You have to ask yourself where these people get the money to support such a large clan. It stinks to high heaven to me, and it's just a diversion to keep us off of what's really going on in the world. So check into the Idaho Observer. Also visit my website, directlightproductions.com. Check out some of the messages there and the Ron Paul flags. You should be flying one at your home. They last far longer than the typical political sign that goes up for 2 or 3 days, in some cases a week. And if somebody doesn't knock it down or steal it just so you can't show it, that's about the life of the average political sign. These are statements that go far beyond politics. And Chris, again, is a God-fearing man. He's a family man. He is a Christian, and he feels very strongly, and I agree with him, that God has asked him and to do this and given him the vision to do it. So I'm happy to have Chris Johnson supporting Evident Footprints, and I'm happy if I can get him on the show before the end of the month. That's a strong possibility. And I've got a new Wantagate article up by Christopher Story. You can go to directlightproductions.com, click on Wantagate. There's actually two new articles that came out recently. What's happening around the world right now financially is the world is not going to keep putting up with the financial shenanigans our government is playing. And we're going to get into the crux of all of this in tonight's show. Before we do, I must bring tonight's guest on board. He is a regular on Friday nights on Evident Footprints. He's been with me since day one. As a weekly guest, he is an author, a scientist, an inventor, a lecturer, and a teacher, and a good friend, and his name is Jim Murray. Jim, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well, Don. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. It's been a long day, but now we're going to get down to real business.
That suits me just fine.
It suits you just fine. Okay, I left you kind of out of the loop in a way, but I did express to you the general area that I would like to open a discussion between us tonight. And again, we're hoping that those that are listening on the internet, just look at the homepage, look at the numbers under Station 1, and you're welcome to call us and share your feelings with us. As Jim said last week, there is no such thing as a stupid question, and we're hoping that there's no such thing as a stupid comment either. And so we want to encourage you to become a part of tonight's conversation. It definitely concerns you. Now, let me preface my remarks by saying that for some time, at least the past 2 years, I've been kind of putting out a message of a spiritual nature, telling folks that to solve our problems, we must look at the spiritual side of things. We must look at taking personal responsibility. And there are different ways to do that. Every individual is going to come to his or her own conclusion as to how that would take place. I'm not here to tell you what you must do or what you should do. We're only going to make some suggestions. But there are so many things being hidden from the world population right now that they warrant speaking about it, so that if you have a chance to wake up, if you intend to wake up or would like to wake up or have been considering waking up or are waking up or even have awakened, then you'll find a lot of valuable information in what we're going to talk about tonight. But we won't leave it there. We'll give you a place to go to investigate this for yourself, to do some research and start making plans. I was given an email today, and I took the time to be prepared for the show tonight to listen to an interview with a gentleman with a military background, I believe in the Air Force, George Green. George Green left the Air Force. He had a very high security clearance, and he became very successful in business. He became a millionaire many times over and actually had inside tracks to making money. He even started his own bank. He circumvented the Federal Reserve System and came into a lot of important information through all of his worldwide intelligence contacts. He was also a very spiritual man, and I should say is, because he's still alive today and very healthy. And he had been put in contact with a group from another star system, from the Pleiades. And these folks, much like Billy Meyer, have been telling him what's going on. And he's had his spiritual gifts enlightened or increased through his sensitivity. He can read the aura of a human being. It's not an unusual phenomenon if you're spiritually awake. Anyone can learn to do it. And in addition to that, he's developed telepathic abilities, and they dictated basically through telepathy three books to him. Now, he has seen these folks as well. He's met with them, and his story parallels many issues in the Billy Meyer case. Billy Meyer is in Switzerland and has been reporting contact since 1976. He's got photographs, some taken from ships. He's written numerous books, numerous essays on the problems of planet Earth. George Green is basically saying the same thing, but what is different about what he is saying is he's attaching it, or he's connecting the dots with things that are going on in the government, in the shadow government, and the various compartments. Things are told to individuals in the military or in these military-industrial complex communities, if you want to call them that, the big corporations, what is about to happen. You have to ask yourself, why are they building concentration camps or what they call detention centers all over the United States? But they're doing this all over the world, primarily in the United States. They've got underground bases, underground tunnel systems, and basically people are now coming forward saying, I've got my ticket. I've got my way out. What is about to happen? Well, we hear about Planet X. We hear about war. We are seeing the indications of war. We see our economy crashing. And I can tell you, and I have said this on past shows, and I will repeat it tonight, they're doing this intentionally to destroy this country. Now, the universe would demand that this life on planet Earth achieve some sort of a balance. And it's way, way out of whack. And it's on the negative side or on the dark side. And we can say that that's just a judgment, but it's still out of balance. You have these forces that are oppressing people, that are murdering people, that are intending to continue this, intending to leash chaos upon the planet. You can see it everywhere. Now, my reason for sharing this with you is not to create fear. They're doing a good job of it, and the media is doing an excellent job in assisting them with that process. The media being TV, radio, magazines, newspapers, books, and even the movies. So I am not trying to create fear here. I'm trying to show you that this is how they control you through fear. Fear is an illusion, just like their money system is an illusion. You can have a talent, you can exchange that talent for food with someone that knows how to grow food, or clothes, or any other need that you might have. So money doesn't necessarily have to be the system of the economy on the planet. So I'm showing you that there are other alternatives, and we must first wake up. We must first individually and then collectively wake up and take responsibility, because we've allowed this to happen. That's one means of shifting the balance. Now, I'd like to share some of this and give Jim an opportunity to talk. It's not often that I introduce my guest and then take over the mic and don't let him get a word in edgewise. But I wanted you to give us some feedback, Jim, on what you know, what you've heard, and then I'll share little tidbits and get you to comment on them.
Well, frankly, I haven't heard too much about the recent goings-ons, but I definitely have heard about the concentration camps, the human processing centers, and the fact that our country has many thousands of foreign military people strategically placed in various positions for unknown tasks. I've also heard that the previous president, Clinton, had signed a bill at one point called Bridge to America, and this was the result of a survey that was taken in the military where they definitely asked U.S. Military personnel if they had any problem firing on American citizens should the need arise. And an awful lot of them said that they wouldn't do it. And as a result of that, they passed this bill called Bridge to America, which allows them to exchange our troops with foreign troops from various countries who don't have any problem killing Americans. Let's see, what else? Well, we all know that the basic idea is to very strongly diminish the world population by, what is it, 2/3, I think they want to do. And in the U.S., I know they want to eliminate most of the population. And they've obviously got all kinds of plans in their minds about different ways of bringing this to fruition. Now, this brings us up to the point, Don, with some of this more novel stuff you were telling me about, and so I'm going to pass the ball back to you until you are satisfied with revealing the things you wanted to discuss, and then we can bounce it back and forth.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. I'm going to ask Seth to please kill the studio microphone. I'm hearing the conversation. I don't know if that's going over the air. So, but it is interfering with our conversation. One of the things that George Green talked about was the fact that when he began talking about some of the things that he had heard, all of a sudden they called in all of his outstanding financing. This man was a millionaire, multimillionaire, and had many, many construction projects financed. And they had asked him to build a detention center in Las Vegas. And he refused to do it, and at that point, they just cut everything off. They said, you have 30 days to pay everything off. Well, he lost millions and millions of dollars. But the man was also very, very evolved spiritually. One of the first things he said in this interview was that we must take individual responsibility. We must awaken. And by doing that, we can then work in small communities. We will be facing some disasters of unusual and unprecedented proportion. One of the issues was the question of Planet X. Now, this is still an issue in question, but should Planet X come around, that they have calculated that the winds over especially the northern hemisphere, so we're talking about the United States, would be in excess of 300 miles an hour, possibly up to 340 miles an hour, and that the only buildings that would survive would likely be those of a dome type of structure that didn't have flat walls, and the wind would sort of act in a streamlined way, just like you see wind sweeping over the top of a car. In other words, they would be more aerodynamically safe, but there's no guarantee that even those buildings would be able to survive those winds. There would be no food. There would be no water. There would be no power. In fact, he talked about scenarios between the United States, Israel, Now, Israel is pushing to nuke Iran. They're pushing to just carry this out. This is a known in the universe as a prison planet. Now, Alex Jones, the researcher, calls it that. In fact, he has a website called prisonplanet.com. And he does speak about many of these things, but more in terms of the intentions of the governments. They've got a plan that when this war starts, that they're going to, there'll be some nuclear weapons. They can be fired from a few submarines. That one he described was 2 football fields long, so we're saying 600 feet and 5 stories high. This is a Russian sub. It can go 80 knots. And so they would be moving around the planet pretty rapidly, and they have them positioned to hit all the cities on the west coast of the United States, and then probably the east coast. They would start there. They would take out, our government would plan to take out most of our major metropolitan areas using neutron bombs. This is all being done intentionally. At least these are their plans. Now, how we approach our consciousness, we can affect the outcome of this. And of course, the issue, and this is what these alien civilizations are communicating to him, despite whether they want to admit that this is going on or not, it is. And they are saying that you can influence the outcome, but the game is so far along that right now it looks very bleak. So everyone should be in a stage of planning as to how they're going to survive. What will aid anyone in survival is the level of their spirituality and their recognition of universal laws, because there's no point in destroying the planet and trying to save mankind unless someone is going to be left around that's not going to do that again. And they certainly wouldn't want to take them to another planet to have them destroy that planet like this one. So we're talking about a consciousness thing here, first of all. Now, those are very scary, very frightening things for someone who's not awake. They're planning food shortages, they're planning to shut down all the electricity and turn off the internet, and this may, you know, as he referred to it, it's been planned to do this over a 3-day weekend. So you would have like a Friday, a Saturday, and a Sunday. And the signal for the start of it would be an attack on Iran. They're also planning on doing the same thing in Israel. What's your take on this, Jim?
Well, that's a mouthful. That's all I can say. And, of course, I think there's some things that we might as well start off by defining for the listeners. You had mentioned that the strategy that they are embracing necessitates the use of a neutron bombs. Neutron bombs are a type of fission bomb, usually, which is designed in such a way that it usually has a jacket of cobalt or some other material that avalanches huge amounts of neutrons when the reaction takes place. And the neutron flux is designed to be so intense that no living thing can possibly survive the impulse radiation that's given off when these bombs are detonated. But because of the fact that most of the energy is used in the production of neutrons, if they're detonated at the right altitude, practically no damage will be done to the buildings. So this really tells you the kind of animals that you're dealing with, that have no problems, no qualms in eradicating hundreds of thousands of people, but their hearts are big enough that they want the buildings to survive. God bless them all. And, of course, even if they did nothing else but that, can you just imagine, for hundreds of miles around, the kinds of problems that you're going to have with hundreds of thousands of decaying bodies, and the disease, and the problems of disposal and everything else that are going to be forthcoming from that issue alone. It's really quite frightening. And as far as the other things you mentioned are concerned, I really don't understand how these people think, but okay, so they want to nuke Iran, and they've got Israel getting into the act, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, you know, to destroy such huge portions of the world for the sake of their own satisfaction. The thing that's really peculiar about it is, right now, all of the things that they're accomplishing behind the scenes with black ops and black projects and extraterrestrial endeavors require trillions and trillions of dollars to accomplish. Now, if they destroy two-thirds of the world's population, they're obviously not going to have the same cash flow that they had before. They're going to have lots of secondary debt due to disease and other things like that. And so, ultimately, in the long run, I think they're going to be shooting themselves in the foot when it comes to that. But, of course, this is the nature of madness. You know, if they succeed in what they're planning, I think they're going to be ruling a very dismal and disappointing world. And even the morons that have laid the plans for this are probably going to find themselves very highly disappointed in what they're ruling over. That's my opinion, anyway.
Yes. I should point out that this interview was conducted by two friends of mine, Carrie Cassidy and Bill Ryan, from ProjectCamelot.org. And, you know, I'd like the listeners to not go there right now. Definitely go there after the show and download this video and listen to it. But you're going to want to hear this discussion here because we have a scientist on the show tonight. He's not just someone who has been given information. In fact, he's not heard most of this. So I'm sort of being the conduit for the information. And already we're getting an analysis that really matches what George Green said. And I know you haven't seen this interview at all, have you, Jim?
No, I only heard about it from you a few minutes before the show.
Okay. You pointed out something earlier, and I think it's worth mentioning because this plays into, you know, the political structure of the planet and all these New World Order plans that they have. You know, they have been saying that the Vatican is going to play a very huge role, if not the primary role, in this new system. And you found it rather interesting. In fact, you shared something with me, and I'd like you to share it with the audience, what you heard about the Pope's visit yesterday, in fact.
Yeah, well, I got an email from one of my contacts that basically said that, as you know, the United States government has been attempting to borrow money from everybody and their uncle around the world, and they've been turned down. But in the past, apparently, they had borrowed large sums of money from the Vatican Empire. And the original amount plus the interest that's been accruing apparently is somewhere in the neighborhood of $2 trillion. And I find it really interesting that the Pope comes here and talks about the you know, the need for peace and brotherly love and expounds upon the attributes of Christ and the way he lived his life and tells us to follow that example. But behind the scenes, apparently he's got his hand out asking for that $2 trillion. Now, what's actually going to transpire and how much they're going to give him is anybody's guess at this point. But I think you're going to see the time come, if it hasn't already, when this country is going to be in such drastic debt that they're brazenly going to just start taking the money right out of your bank account.
Yes, Jim, I've got to interrupt you for a second. Seth, if you can hear me, can you please kill the microphone in the studio? I don't know if he's hearing me. Seth or Don, can you please kill the studio mic? I'm hearing a cat meow right now, and it's drowning you out. Okay, sorry about that. Go ahead.
So even if they don't do this directly, which will probably cause all kinds of rioting, you know, they may have other schemes where they're going to devalue the dollar. I've heard that. That may be something that's coming along. All in all, it sounds to me like the opening chapters of the 21st century are going to be anything but pleasant.
Yes, well, you're actually talking about something here in this $2 trillion. Is it a coincidence that they are trying to borrow $2 trillion from China? This is going on nonstop. This has been an issue with WantaGate for the past number of years, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse as it goes along. There has been no let-up in the amount of financial corruption, so we know that this is going on. And they're in, you know, what you're saying, I mean, this is not a scene out of The Godfather where Michael Corleone is given $600 million to the Pope. You know, this is the other way around. It's just corruption to the core, and people are asleep. And basically, that's an issue talked about in this interview as well. Basically, anybody who is asleep is going to be eliminated just by transit of property, where they are and how out of touch they are with things. They're anticipating the kids going bananas, going into just a total state of chaos to eat. They see people for 3 days. Once everything goes into motion, there will be no food in the store. And in 3 days, you will have everybody stealing food, and they'll be stealing food for a week. And then after a week, they'll be killing people for food. They're hoping that this happens. Now we've got to rise up above this, far far beyond this, and realize who we are. Realize the power that we have within us individually so that we can then receive information. Now, how do you go about that? Well, George Green has a website, and you may want to write this website down. It's called www.nomorehoaxes.com. Again, www.nomorehoaxes.com. And he's got three free ebooks there. And they're quite extensive. I downloaded them. They're in PDF form. A couple of them are almost 200 pages long. But he describes what is going on in each of these. And he according to him, the Pleiadians helped him write this. Now, he describes some interesting phenomenon, too. While he's writing, he's sitting at his computer, and he's looking at something, and the thought enters his mind, well, this should be italicized. And before he even touches the keyboard, the words change to italics. He said, such is their communicative skills and their intelligence that they can just manifest this through me and make my computer screen completely change. Now, that's going to blow some minds. There's those people out there, well, I don't know if I buy that. Now, you know, I believe in Planet X, and I believe that, yeah, there might be underground bases, but I don't think somebody can just change what's on your computer screen. Yet you have it being done to you all day long, folks. Any comment, Jim?
Yeah, well, there's no two ways about that. I mean, if you want to get into that whole nest of cats, I mean, the back doors that are left open deliberately in all of these computer systems, and don't forget, is very, very good chance that Microsoft is deeply in bed with the U.S. government. And, you know, the operating systems that they produce all have back doors in them that are deliberately allowed for, they're there for people to, with the right know-how, to be able to penetrate and scan the contents of your computers for whatever reasons they have in mind. And this is technology that's it's already here. I mean, there's no question about it. And, you know, during the night, they can come in and literally go through all your files if your computer is left running or if it's left online. And they can even do it during the day. Now, I remember a story that a friend of mine told me a few years back, which I thought was very, very interesting. This guy had applied for as a computer technician for one of the security agencies in the United States, and you would expect that they would give you some IQ test or some, you know, unusual form of mental challenge to allow you to be graded for this position to see if you're worthy or not. Well, in a sense, they did do that. But it wasn't a kind of an IQ test or anything. What they challenged this guy to do was to come up with a system that would allow him, you know, to tap into highly secure either government or military files that you would normally never be able to access. And what's really interesting, of course, most people are right away start attacking the problem from the point of view of how you can hack into the system and how you can manipulate and understand their data codes and this and that. But this guy was so sophisticated and so interesting in his approach. What he basically did was he targeted one of the military sites that is supposed to be 100% secure, and he completely imitated the page that comes up when you access that site. And then in his duplication of that page, he had software written that when the person entered their security code and their ID, that would be separately stored in another file. And then the minute that information was in possession, the screen would flash blank and the original code access scene would reappear, and the person that was operating it would say, oh darn, there was a glitch, and he would just calmly re-enter the information, and of course he would wind up getting in and doing whatever he had to do. But the interesting thing about it is with this method, this guy was then able to have a log of all the people accessing those systems and all their passwords, all their secretive information. Plus, he could get in to that system for his own purposes using any number of several hundred IDs. Now, the reason why I bring that up, which is kind of interesting, is because of the fact that I've actually seen this, a duplication of this type of thing happen on my own computer. And I'll be willing to bet that people give this some thought and they will realize that this is become a fairly common format where information is stolen from you without your knowledge, and the only reason that you cooperate is because of the fact that you figure, oh, it was just a computer glitch. But this is just one tiny way in which we can be controlled, manipulated, and scanned without even us getting a hint of what's going on, Don.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, to share some more, and it wasn't just the technology that was discussed. He went into really deeply into spiritual issues and these three-dimensional issues that we face. And, of course, people are going to wonder, well, what's the overall thing? What's the overall message? Well, he's talking about the Earth and that the Earth is quite capable, and you've even heard me say this, the Earth is quite capable of fixing itself. There is nothing that we really understand on that level, especially mainstream science, understands nothing about how the Earth was created and how it works. There are exceptions to the rule, of course, and you being one, I would say. He described the anticipated, and they're basing this on the scientific knowledge that they do have, earthquakes that will occur amongst all these other disasters. In other words, a trigger for this would be that when San Francisco falls, that's a trigger mechanism, or at least a signpost that these things will occur, as well as an attack on Iran or some major nuclear confrontation. You get one nuke going off in the Middle East, and it's on, basically, is what he said. But in another way, he said it is on now. Now, they are experiencing right now on the West Coast, get this, 1,000 earthquakes an hour. Now, they're not all these major earthquakes, but these are like little chips, he said. A little chip at a time is being knocked off of the Earth's crust until the plates shift. And he said the shift is calculated or estimated to be as great as 18 feet at the San Andreas Fault. That's humongous. And basically, they're predicting that California will be totally wiped out. Is it any wonder that the real estate values have gone down in California the way they have? Much farther below the national average. Multi-million dollar properties can be had for a few hundred thousand dollars now. So what they're doing is they're getting the money and they're running, you see. Any comments about what you know about earthquakes or these natural disasters?
Well, I can tell you a couple of things in that regard, Don. First of all, if my memory serves me well, and I think it does, one of the largest earthquakes on record was associated with about a 3-meter shift in the fault line, or the alignment of the plates. And that's not that big, you know, all things considered. But if you have an 18-foot change, you know, in that same time period, you're going to have a quake of proportions that probably won't even register on the Richter scale. I'd hate to think of what kind of disasters would follow from that kind of a tectonic disturbance. It would just be horrendous.
Now, I know this from my days in California. California experienced 3,000 earthquakes, let's say of a magnitude of maybe 2.3 on upward per year. And currently, and this interview was made within the past week, my understanding is, I would guess. If it was in the past 2 weeks, it would still be phenomenal, the difference, 1,000 earthquakes a day. And they have been reporting some major quakes. In fact, last night we had one in Ohio. We had an earthquake.
Right?
Yeah. 5:30 in the morning. Now, I woke up to a rolling kind of feeling. I didn't get any data on the intensity of the quake, but they're occurring all over the place, and it makes one wonder, is this just an experiment to see how they can ramp things up? Is this HARP, or are they doing something from space?
Well, there's another possibility, too, you know, and that is that Mother Nature herself may be on the verge of being disgusted. And the interesting thing is that if this planet ever decides to shed its human load, all these plans and all these big egos won't amount to a hill of beans.
Mm-hmm.
Because what this planet is capable of doing, it can wipe the slate clean in a matter of probably just a couple of hours if it really wanted to.
Well, now George Green also points out that even those that go into these underground bases and the tunnel systems may have some problems of their own. And in fact, that as much as they'd like to believe that they have created the superstructures down there that are going to withstand these things, there are so many unpredictable things that could occur. But he explained that in their arrogance, their downfall may just be lack of spare parts. They may run out of air because of a ball bearing, is how he put it.
Yeah, well, that's very true. And here's another good thought, too. It's pretty well documented that a lot of the catastrophes that have taken place in the past have disturbed the distribution of water on the surface of the Earth to a very great extent. Entire oceans have shifted and land masses have changed altitude by thousands of feet and all sorts of things happen. These idiots go and build themselves these underground domains in areas that appear safe from our immediate perspective. But there's no way of knowing that they may not wind up at the bottom of an ocean in the middle of all this turmoil that could be unleashed on the planet. In which case, I would much rather take my chances on the surface than I would locked in some tunnel and then wind up being 200 feet below sea level, which is very realistic.
Maybe they've created their own Red Sea and don't know it.
Let's hope so.
Well, just the whole concept, and this man was very, very low-key about these things. I mean, he was emphatic about what he had found out. Now, he pointed out that many people in the government are already fleeing to some of these areas they feel are going to be the safe areas in terms of Planet X appearing, and you and I have talked about that. There's not definitive proof about that. That could just be more of the fear-mongering, just the disguise, because if you're going to tell people that you're about to blow up the world in a nuclear confrontation that's really designed just to reduce the world's population so that when they feel it's safe to come out, they can come out and just carry on business as usual. You're not going to necessarily admit that. So what do? You blame it on a planet that's coming this way. He made some very interesting analyses of things. For instance, Kerry Cassidy asked him, what about the sun? Are we going to have this, these solar flares that are going to cause fires or something like that because of changes in the temperature of the sun? And he made a very interesting comment. He said the sun is cold. He said it's the friction of the light waves that produces the heat.
Yeah, well, we talked about that on an earlier show, remember?
Mm-hmm. So,
that's just commentary coming from a different source, which bears up the things that we were saying.
Exactly. This is why I'm bringing this out, in that he's got an understanding of the scientific background as well, and basically he's saying, there's probably, in terms of their plans, there's not going to be a safe place anywhere on the planet. So that provoked the question, then what is going to be our ace up the sleeve, so to speak? What can we rely on then? And he said, well, the spirituality of those that are awake and those that have prepared in some manner. And he's talking about the totality. I'm not just talking about storing up food, water, and clothes, and whatever essentials you think you might need, and then going someplace. But he talks about the methods that you will have to use. But foremost is the spiritual application, and this self-discovery thing that we've talked about on so many shows. Becoming conscious, because your consciousness will carry you through this. And you will join with those of like mind. That's what is going to be the future on the planet as far as life. And if that's true, then there is an outcome for these people too. And I say people with reservation, because you and I both agree that they're not all people. He talked about cloning, by the way. What is interesting, and you heard me mention that this is the anniversary of my Scherf article in The Observer, the one that exposes these bogus genealogies and the intelligence apparatus from the Nazis. And he said that cloning began in 1938. They already could produce a full-term human being, having even the memory. Now, he's talking about a soulless human being, but basically he referred to them sort of as synthetics. They were called synthetics. He said if you could touch the skin of these people, you could tell that they were not human, but they appeared to be human. And every world leader has at least one, but maybe dozens of these replicas. And these are the ones that we see in public. And they speak and they act like them. But he said you could take a film of Bush, for instance, any one of the Bushes, look at their early films, and then look at them later on. And he said you can see the anomalies. You can see clearly that these are not the same people. And he said, I'm not talking about just normal aging. There are many, many differences that are imperceptible to people that are really not tracking these things. Otherwise, if you are discerning, you can see that too. And I've often stated that I notice that some of these people don't look human. The Pope, to me, didn't look human. And that's going to make a lot of Catholics mad, but I'm sorry. I saw the blackest eyes I've ever seen in a so-called human being in that man's face yesterday. Very dark energy. And I just have to say what I saw. I'm telling it like I saw it. I don't think it was my imagination. I feel that it was spiritual discernment speaking loud and clear. And I'm not alone in that thinking either. Any comment, Jim?
Well, I didn't see what you saw, but I can tell you this much. Years ago, when I started investigating all this stuff, I was absolutely flabbergasted at the types of political and financial situations that the Vatican was deeply involved with. And having been raised as a Catholic, I mean, originally there was a great deal of shock in discovering some of these things. But now, for me at least, it's almost a matter of course, you know, to find out, for instance, that they have heavy investments in Krupp Armoring, and which is, Krupp is one of the largest armament companies in the world. Vatican is invested in that. It's invested, at least in the past, in contraceptive factories, which I thought was rather interesting, considering the message that they give with regard to propagation of the species. But all these different things came together in my mind many years ago, and I came to the conclusion that we're dealing with an organization which at very best is hypocritical, to say the least. And so now if you take it a step further and you say that they're all part of a major semi-demonic arrangement of some sort, well, even if I don't know the details, I'm no longer surprised, let's put it that way.
Yes. There is a demonstration in this interview where George Green actually stands up, and he has Carrie Cassidy hold her arms out at her side. Literally, you know how kids pretend like they're an airplane and they just bring their arms out parallel to the floor.
Yeah.
And he said, hold your arms up. And he said, I'm going to show you what they do. And he said, I've seen the Pope do this. He said, this is used in religion constantly when they bless you. They're using a technique, and it comes from, and he spoke of Aleister Crowley, too. He didn't just leave it up to the Pope. This goes back into these secret ritualistic satanic worshiping societies. Or Satan worshippers, Luciferian, if you want to call them that. And He had her hold her arms out, and he said, now, I'm going to show you what they do when they bless you. And he said, this is a secret that really is hidden from the masses. You feel like you're being blessed, and you have this feeling of submission, as if you've submitted to Christ. When you do this, and he took his hand, sort of like a knife blade, and just made a line down the center of her body, in the air, from her head downward. Then he pushed on her arm. Now, he was telling her, hold your arms up, and under no condition let your arms fall. And he did this motion perpendicular to the floor and parallel to her body, standing up, and her arm, as soon as he pushed on it, it went right down. Then he said, now hold both arms very still. He did that a couple of times, and she was amazed. She said she was trying as hard as she could to hold her arms up, just a slight amount of pressure, and her arm went down. He said, now hold them tight now. Don't move them. And he did the sign of the cross in front of her body, and her arms just got limp and just fell to the side of her body. It's an amazing demonstration of his understanding of what it is they do. And you think of all the people that get blessed, you know, in a religious service, and this goes on and on. It goes on as much as several times a week.
Yeah.
So this is just a method of mind control and really understanding. It's not so much magic as it is understanding the energy structures of the body. He said,
that's what magic is, though.
Yes. Yes, exactly. It's just, it's using the hidden knowledge, okay, the paranormal, the hidden knowledge.
And the irony of it is, Don, that they use their knowledge of those things, which they realize the general public does not possess, in such a way that when they design ceremonies or sacraments or other things of that sort, it's essentially a depowering mechanism, because one of the first things that any organized religion, and I'm not necessarily pointing fingers at the Catholics, because there were religions long before Catholicism that used these principles, but basically the idea is, if you want to control the masses, you have to make them unaware of their own power. And what is your power? Your power is your natural magic, your natural energy, and of course the knowledge that you possess it. And so, one of the first and earliest ways of doing this is to remove power from the people. And you start with the psychic level and you work your way down.
Mm-hmm.
Until finally you have just a bunch of ragamuffins that don't resist in any way, shape, or form. And frankly, we're very close to that level now.
Yes. Well, and then it's done on multi levels. You know, we're not attacking religion here. We're attacking these methods that are used, and we're trying to bring some hidden knowledge to the forefront to say it doesn't have to be this way. Now, how do you protect yourself against that? Well, do you fight it, or do you, you know, the Bible talks, Jesus talked about, you know, using the sword. Sometimes you're going to have to get the sword out and use it. And that's symbolic. Of course, we're not talking about a sword, but you're going to have to defend yourself at some point. So in terms of how you would develop that inner sword is to really understand the power that you have. If you choose not to be a part of this, then you will come up with solutions. But I recommend to anyone, there are three ebooks on the website, nomorehoaxes.com, and one of them is basically a handbook on the new paradigm. And then there's another book called Embracing the Rainbow, and the third one is called Becoming. He said if you read them in that order, he will actually even give you a fourth book for free, just to share this knowledge. He's saying there are not going to be any safe places on the planet, per se, but there are precautions that people can take to prepare as best one as one could prepare. And more than anything, if you get the spiritual end of business in order in your life and become conscious and not out of a state of fear of what might happen to you, but it should be your nature to know, to choose to know who you are and what you're capable of. It's time. What other choice do you have? What other choice does a person have? You either just line up to take a bullet in the back of the head, or to be nuked, or to be poisoned in some way, or just die a horrible death of suffering, or come to your senses and realize that there's more than watching television and engaging in all this trivia that is really just another way to control you. Comment, Jim.
I'm in full agreement with you, frankly. You know, the thing of it is that I find it hard to understand and believe, you know, just how docile people have become. Maybe it's because I can't possibly live that way. I mean, to me, I'll go down fighting if that's what it takes, but I'll be darned if I'm going to sit around like a stupid sheep and wait for whatever is going to come. I just can't do that. But my comment to your question is, I really have trouble believing how accepting and unconcerned people are. And yet, the strange thing is, on the other side of the coin, if you sit down and have a frank conversation with almost anybody, even people of, you know, a lesser degree of intelligence, they're all conscious enough that they know there's something wrong. The strange thing about it is that they're so brainwashed, at least in most cases, that when you point out what's wrong, their mind refuses to accept it. You know, and it's very similar to that experiment that you and I talked about a number of months ago where they put an ad in the paper, I think it was Ryan University, put an ad in the paper for people who were avid card players. And several people showed up that were interested in being involved in this experiment, and they asked the nature of the test. And what the researchers told them was, well, it's really very simple. We're going to flash cards at you at a fairly high rate of speed, and you're going to be asked to write down what the suit is and what the card is in particular. And what they didn't tell them, though, was that there were some pseudo-suits in these decks. In other words, to give an example, a red ten of clubs, for instance, mm-hmm. Or something of that sort. And what's so interesting about it is that as long as they were flashing cards that the card players were used to seeing, they just rattled off the names and wrote down the descriptions with no problem whatsoever. But when one of these pseudo suits was flashed, they would literally go into tilt mode, and they would say, "Oh, I can't see that card," or "Gee, that card is changing from red to black," or any number of other totally off the wall responses. Which was really very interesting because it seemed to indicate that they were so programmed that even though their senses were reporting the proper information to them, their mind couldn't handle it. Now, I know I don't know beans about cards other than what I just told you. So if somebody flashed a pseudo suit at me, I would just say, "Oh, well, it's a red ten of clubs. You know, big deal." But I think it's a very similar mechanism that's already in place that's affecting a lot of people. And what it seems to be is that they're so steeped in the belief that we are in the land of the free, nothing can go wrong here, everything is going along just fine, And then when they see these external stimuli that are to the contrary, their mind just refuses to accept it because they know it can't be so. They don't trust their judgment. They don't trust their senses. They don't trust, you know, your explanation of what's happening. And only a very few people here and there that I've encountered that are wise enough and conscious enough to say, oh, yeah, there's definitely problems, and we agree with you. It's the people that are running the show that are doing it. So I don't know exactly how it's all going to turn out, but I'm with you. I think that this type of programming can be shattered, and people can begin to take charge of their own destiny, but it's going to take some intestinal fortitude to do that. You can't sit around and hope for the best and expect something good to come out of it.
Yes, that's the general message that George Green brought forward is, you know, he's making his plans, and for the time being, he's letting people know. Now, he's talking about some of the safe places, and maybe we can continue this discussion again next week.
Well, you know what I'll try to do between now and then, Don, is I'll personally read that material now that you've told me about it. And, you know, then I'll be much better equipped to discuss it with you, you know, next time.
Yes, it's very interesting. Now, I don't claim to have all the answers myself. And anyone that thinks that I have is as foolish as I would be if I did make that claim. let it suffice to say, though, that I do have perceptions of some things, and I'm finding out. You know, it was interesting. He was directly asked the question: do we have bases on Mars? Do we have bases on the Moon? And he answered yes to both questions. And you and I have talked about that and examined photographs on the air, it's a reality. Now, the purpose for those bases can be multifaceted, but what things he talked about, you know, there's this big mystery about Pine Gap, Australia. There's a base there, and they basically secluded that from the Australian population. People know something really strange is going on there, and they have an array similar to the HAARP array on the ground level, you know, on the surface level. But it's an underground base, and he seems to think that many of them are going to run away there. Some of them have what they call their ticket to make this underground transition. Those of us above the age of 45 are only going to be held for our talents. Well, I'm a pretty talented guy, and so are you. So maybe we're still going to be around. I'm kind of joking there. I don't intend to go down there with them. But the point I'm making is that if you're a nuclear physicist, he said, for instance, his son, he said they would keep him. He said, why would they keep me? I have no talent. Yet the man is really underestimating who he is and how powerful a being he is. Of course, he'll deal with it as he knows from the heart center. We've talked about the heart, and the knowingness comes from the heart center, and he begins that whole interview with that statement. So it's not a bunch of malarkey that we've been talking about, you and I, for almost the past year on the radio. We have been touching upon all the things, and he has confirmed many of those things. I don't think it's hogwash. I think it's very synchronistic that someone else is also awake and stating what they know to be their truth. I find that it matches many things that you and I agree upon. We may have disagreements, but I can't even name one of them you and I have had. That's a pretty good track record we got going there, bud.
Yeah. Well, I mean, after all, if you stop and think about it, it's not really that surprising, because when you're tuned in to something and you can both see it, you know, it's pretty hard to argue about. You know, it's like things on the normal level of perception. If you've got a great big shiny red apple sitting there, and everybody that you ask says, oh yeah, it's a red apple. Well, there's not much to argue about. Everybody's in agreement. The same kind of a thing happens at higher levels of intuition or higher levels of comprehension. There are just certain facts that are blatantly obvious. And, you know, if other people don't recognize these things, then, in my opinion at least, it's our obligation to bring that information down to a level or to a description that they can comprehend and address. And that's what I always thought this show was accomplishing, to be honest with you.
Well, I appreciate that. That's the idea, is we're examining the truth, or we're finding the truth in everything and just facing it for what it is. We make our decisions about how we're going to handle it and or deal with it, but you can't do it if you're not aware of it. I can guarantee that.
Well, that's the major part. That's the major issue right there. You have to be aware.
Well, Jim, we're out of time. I'm aware of that. And it has, again, been very enlightening to have you on the show. And, take a look at those publications. Again, the website, www.nomorehoaxes.com. And also visit projectcamelot.org. We were talking about the attack on the websites. And, of course, they attack the BBS domain on a regular basis, sometimes several times a day. And they have wiped out whole archives of these interviews on the Project Camelot site as well. But they just keep going on. You see, they don't want the truth getting out. That means that we are doing the right thing. And so I thank you, Jim, for your input and your appearance here. And I look forward to next week.
Well, me too, Don, and thank you very much for having me as a guest. And let's hope that one of these days somebody will call in with a comment or two.
Yes. I think they were probably riveted again tonight. Let's hope that that's the case. That's what people tell me. So, so maybe we have to do a boring show. Maybe they'll call in.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Well, maybe we can play... I was going to say we can play some political speeches. How's that?
Yeah, well, there's enough people making those speeches right now. I think I'll forego that for something more interesting.
Okay. Jim, you have a good weekend, and I look forward to seeing you next week.
Same here, Don. You take care.
Okay, and folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and we'll be back again next week with another great series of shows. In the meantime, I want to wish everyone a peace-filled, a light-filled, and a love-filled night and weekend, and I want to thank Seth for turning off that microphone and cutting down the chatter in the studio. And wish everyone a good night.